still other trend? Have you ever, in seriousness, faced the problem of sin? The word sin is very small, composed of only three letters. Right in the middle of the word is an individual that is called I. But first of all, let me present two facts regarding sin. They are simple, but they are clear. First of all, sin is a universal problem. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, saying, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Listen to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, saying, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." I believe, if you are honest, you will readily acknowledge this is true of the whole human race. All you need to do is look at the multiplied problems upon the earth today, and surely would you not agree, the very root cause of all the problems is sin. We spend billions of dollars fighting, seeking to cure the results of sin. But for some insensible reason, we do nothing about the cause of sin. Yes, it is a universal problem. But also, second, it is an individual problem. Through the ages, there have been many individuals who have found this to be true. Think with me of King David, one who was the king of Israel, the greatest of all the kings of Israel. Remember his personal confession of his own sin, very clear and very loud, when he spoke to God, saying, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. And my sin is ever before me." Psalm chapter 51, verse 2 and 3. Then will you not think of the confession of the prodigal son, recorded by our Lord in Luke chapter 15 and verse 18? "Father," said that son, "I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Remember the penitent publican in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. Recall his penitential prayer, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Then is it not true and very real that the human race is a race of sinners? Everyone, every man, every woman, every boy and every girl is an individual sinner. Now the problem is, do you know it? Have you personally admitted it? 'Tis a humbling thing, I know, but it is true. Is there anyone who can dare to say, "I am not a sinner"? I know some unfortunately have said that. Many more who may never have said it, they may think it. And if you are such a one, let me ask you the question. Did you ever tell a lie? Did you ever have an evil thought? Have you really, without failure, kept the holy law of God? Did not a rich young ruler come to Christ, inquiring the way of eternal life? Jesus asked him, "What does the law of Moses say?" And the young man answered him rightly, quoting the scripture from the Mosaic law. And then the Savior asked him if he had kept them. And the young man said, "Yes, I've kept the commandment from my youth up." The blessed Savior looked upon him in kindness and with love, for it was the evidence of a very noble character to some great degree. But then the Lord Jesus put his finger upon his failure. He said, "One thing thou lackest. Go and sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor. Take up thy cross and come and follow me." Upon that statement, the young ruler turned sadly away, for he possessed great riches, which he was unwilling to give up or even give to the poor. Now what was wrong? He had told the Lord he had loved his neighbor as himself in that great commandment of Moses. But the Lord showed to him he did not, and proved to him he was wrong. Listen, my friend. It takes only one sin to make you and to make me a sinner. Listen to what the Apostle James has written. For whosoever keepeth the whole law, yet offendeth in one point, he is guilty of all. James 2 and verse 10. How many infractions of the law would it take for me to be guilty of breaking the whole law? Just one, my friend. And my friend, if you hesitate to confess that you are a sinner, let me ask you the question again. In this perspective, are you sure? You surely must have sinned once. But I'm certain that if you're truthful, you will admit more than once. Anything that is in your life and my life, anything in your conduct and mine, that is absolutely, whether minutely or greatly, unlike God and His holiness, what is ever unlike God and His holy character in you and me, that is sin. It may never be terrible in the sight of others, and perhaps not even to yourself, but one act, one word, one thought that is not God-like, in pure holiness, that is sin. Yet I am sure we will all agree there are many and there are varied degrees of sin and many kinds of sinners. That is certainly true. But please let us not hide ourselves or seek to excuse ourselves from that truth that we have given. We quote it again, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again in Romans 3:19, God said, all the world is guilty before God. He has not excused one individual. For every man, every woman, every boy and every girl, to them God declares, you are a sinner. You have sinned against me. Would you once more note with me the words of David? Though he had sinned terribly against others, when God exposed his guilt and the awfulness of his sin to him, David declared to God, against thee, and thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Psalm 51 and verse 4. Do not miss the point implied. Your sin and even mine may often be committed against our fellow companions, but no matter whether it is not, whatever sin it might be, all sin is against God. My beloved friend, may I suggest to you, face the sin problem of your own soul. And do it before God. You may find men will seek to excuse and tone down the terrible character of your sins and mine, but God cannot do that, and God will not. And I pray that you will listen very carefully to the message on this universal, this individual problem concerning human sin, to find out what God has to say regarding it. And also to know from the Holy Scriptures not only what he has to say concerning it, but what he has done about it. And also what you should do about it. Oh, my beloved friend, have you ever dealt with your sins in the presence of God? My beloved, 'tis blessedly true that God so loved the world. And we can say God loves every sinner. But we must never forget, God cannot, God will not approve sin. And that which has separated your heart and mind from God, and that is our sins, something needs to be done about it. We particularly, first of all, need to face it. My sin. What shall I do with it? What does God say about it? He says, I'm guilty. But let me, before we close our ministry of today, set before you a verse that reminds our hearts God has done something about it, which I trust you have never neglected. I quote a word written by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. When Paul wrote to say, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. My beloved, we cannot refrain from mentioning before we close our subject, one that we desire in God willing will take up in another message on this universal and individual problem of sin. But I cannot close this message without reminding you, God has done something about it. Christ Jesus came into the world because of it. And what for? It's the blessed story of why he came to the earth, to save sinners. And I'm glad to be able to state, in closing, the Lord Jesus wants to save you. He is able to save you, and he will save you if you will come to God through him and bring your sins. May I encourage you and exhort you, don't come to God without bringing to him your sin problem. I think of a dear old man many years ago when I was just a young preacher coming to me and saying, Brother Bramall, I want my big sins and I want my little sins all forgiven. Yes, he was facing the issue, and gladly did he kneel with penitent heart and find the joy of forgiveness that brought him rejoicing and confidence of salvation. My beloved friend, if you've never faced the issue of your sin, do it now and come to God through the Lord Jesus. Father, bless thy holy word. Convict sinners of their need of a Savior. Bring them to Christ in the power of the Spirit, confessing him as their Lord and Savior who died for them, in Jesus' name. Amen.